We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right on time, we go inside the 49ers locker room to say hello to Azeez Al-Shaair, starting outside linebacker of the San Francisco 49ers, presented by Harris Ranch Beef, legendary quality. Azeez, my name is Damon. My partner is Ray. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. We have not had the chance to talk to you in the past, so we're very happy that we get to meet you today. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you, man. And obviously, the 49ers are starting to play some good football once again. The last 2 weeks have seen this defense really step up. You haven't even allowed, 20 points combined over the last couple of weeks. Things are starting to come together, turn the corner. Can you put your finger on why this is happening now?
Honestly, I think that when you look at a lot of the games that we lost, it just came down to defensively, we weren't able to stop teams from scoring points sometimes in the red zone, weren't able to come up with takeaways, and offensively, you know, obviously giving up a couple takeaways, giving up the ball a few times, turnovers or whatever. At the end of the day, it all comes down to turnovers, I think, and teams scoring points on you. So these last 2 weeks, we've been able to get the ball out, and offensively, I mean, they've been doing some historic things, like on the first drive, let alone, like, I think in this game that we just played versus Jacksonville, I think they had 22 plays in the first drive. Like, that's insane. Like, I literally had to warm up because I didn't play basically the entire first quarter. Like, we played three plays the first quarter, which is insane.
Right. You had to stretch twice for one game.
No, for sure. Like, so, I mean, I've never been a part of anything like that in my whole football career where I literally played three plays in the entire quarter. So, I think that those are the things that you look at when you look at difference between how we've been losing some games in the past and how we were able to win these last two games, because versus the Rams, we had a historic drive, the first drive as well. I think that play, that drive was 13 plays or maybe something like that, 13 runs or something like that, that led to scoring points as well. So,
was there a point before the last two games where you felt like the defense was finally getting it? Was this maybe a slower build than just the last 2 weeks, or did it just happen the way it seems to have happened visually, which is, you know, 2 weeks ago, this week, bam, they're defending like they were 2 years ago? Or was there a slower build?
I mean, I think that's, like, all year long we've been working hard, like, trying to do what we've been doing these last 2 weeks. So it's not like guys are just now, like, figuring it out. I think it's just sometimes it's, like, it's football, like, the other team gets paid to do what they do as well, and if you don't execute good enough on that Sunday, anybody can be beat. You know, so there's no such thing as like powerhouse team. Like, this is the NFL. Like, it's the best of the best. So I think that sometimes, you know, you get lost in like, oh, this guy was drafted here, or this guy got paid $100 million. Like, you lining up against the best of the best every Sunday. So you got to come ready to play every week, and you got to execute. So I think that's what it comes down to. We've just been executing the way we're supposed to, and, you know, playing at a high level.
Azeez Al-Shaair of the 49ers here on 95.7 The Game. And I want to ask you if you're buying stock into what I've been selling lately, and that is what you were kind of just alluding to, that there is so much talent in this league. What separates the best of the best from the worst of the worst isn't nearly what you'd think it is. I mean, teams are so similar that any team in football that can put together 5 or 6 weeks of decent play, it's like a miracle. I mean, to be consistent in this league for 5 or 6 weeks in a row means you've just had a hell of a stretch of football, because nobody gets to be good all year, every game anymore. There's just too many challengers out there.
No, for sure. I think that is the challenge. And when you look at football and really sports in general, but just week in and week out, like, you're playing against the best of the best, and you always got to be on it. And if you're not on it, you're going to get exposed. So, like Kyle, he always talks about that sense of urgency for us and always gets on us about making sure that we're on it. Obviously, you know, like, nobody in the game is going to be perfect. But, you know, I guess, like, just holding that accountability, like, look, it won't be me. Like, I don't want to be that dude. So you make sure that you individually, every guy is just doing everything that they can to make sure that they show up for the team.
You talked about the first drive on Sunday that lasted 20 plays. Jacksonville then went 3 and out, and then you had another 8-play drive. Was there a point at which you thought, are we going to get to play at all today?
Honestly, like, it was cool with me. Like, I was perfectly fine with it. Like, it didn't bother me not one bit. They went down there and had a 30-play drive. I would be sitting back there squirting Gatorade in the air laughing. So, I mean, hopefully we could do that again. Like, we could do that for the rest of the year if they want to. I'm fine with that.
Hey, it feels like that's – if Shanahan could draw up his dream game plan week to week, it's kill a quarter or two, get a two-possession game, and then just sit on the ball and death by inches. And it's worked the last couple of weeks against two very different opponents. The Jaguars aren't supposed to be very good. They weren't. The Rams are supposed to be very good, and you made sure that they weren't. And here we are. All of a sudden, the 49ers are 5-5 again and hosting a team – in the Minnesota Vikings, that is in a very similar situation. They want in the playoffs. You guys want in the playoffs. This is going to be your 41st NFL game already Sunday against Minnesota. You're going to be going up against Dalvin Cook, who is all knees and elbows, man. He gets 4.6 a carry, and they give him the ball 20 times. You can set your watch by it. It's like an old school bell cow running back. What makes him so good? Do you find it easier to play against one guy getting most of the work than when teams chop up carries between three or four guys and you get a little bit of a different flavor of running back style play to play? Is it in a weird way, is it easier to play against a guy who is far and away another team's best running back, because you at least start to pick up on his cadence a little?
Yeah, I think to answer your first question as far as, like, what makes him good, obviously he's explosive. I think he's a real patient runner, and when he hits it, when he sees it, he hits it. So, you know, obviously, like, I'm a Florida guy, he's a Florida guy as well. So just growing up, you always, like, hear about his name, see him play ball. So, like, I mean, it's somebody I have respect for, obviously, and how he runs the ball and how he plays the game. And then as far as, like, the game planning thing, I think that really you self-scout whoever is going to be in there. You know he's going to get the bulk of the carries, so you scout him a lot. And then obviously number 25 as well, like, he's a really good runner as well. He's going to finish his runs, and he's going to run pretty hard. I know he had 2 starts, I think, when Dalvin wasn't playing at one point earlier in the season. And, I mean, I think he had over 100 yards rushing both of those games. So I think that they got a good backfield in general. And when I'm playing an opponent, I just kind of look at every player that's in there, because everybody brings something different. And, you know, I just kind of look at it even from, like, our own linebacker room. Like, we got guys that all of us bring something different to the table. And I think that it's just like – and like I said before, in the NFL, like, everybody is a professional. So you got to just do your due diligence and kind of just know who you're playing against each play.
Azeez, who got to play the role of Dalvin Cook on the scout team this week?
Well, we had a whole bunch of different dudes going in, but actually one of the linebackers, Tyrell Adams, he was doing a little walkthrough earlier today at practice, and
he got to do it, a practice squad linebacker. Did you guys give him like a purple 25 jersey?
We were sitting there arguing with each other when we were watching film just now about, that would have been a touchdown right there. So
does he think he has been miscast as a linebacker and now he's calling his agent saying, I want to change positions, I'm a running back?
I think he thinks he's about to start at running back on Sunday.
Could he start at running back on Sunday?
Yeah. What'd you think of him? Has he got a shot?
No chance.
What, is he just not a good hole? He doesn't hit the hole quickly enough, or is he just not a guy who, does well after contact?
He does not protect the ball well. I almost made him fumble a couple times today.
You trying to get him cut? when you turn sort of a season around from, oh my God, how good are we, to, oh, this is what we've been, is there a level of exhilaration, or is it more relief in going, oh, this is who we were supposed to be?
I don't know. I think, like, it's definitely not, like, relief. Like, I don't see it. Like, I feel like relief, when you think of that, it's, like, kind of like a little relaxed. Like, if anything, it's more like I said, Kyle talks about all the time, like, that sense of urgency, like, making sure that we're doing what we know we're supposed to do. Like, end of the day, like I said, it's the NFL, week in and week out. Any week you could be beat. So you just got to show up every single Sunday and every game that you play. So I think for us, that we're all, like, obviously it brings that new juice, new life. But you got, if you want to keep that momentum going, you got to have that sense of urgency to constantly be critiquing yourself, bettering yourself. Like, even after the game, we came in on Monday, and D'Amico was talking about, hey, we played a hell of a game. We did. But look at yourself really hard and see how you can get better. Because those are the type of things where I think when you win football games, a lot of times you see a lot of teams or players, like, you have a few bad plays and you might just overlook it because of the overall outcome. But those same things, if you don't correct them, will come to haunt you in weeks to come. So I think that is pretty much how we are. We just try to make sure we critique all the little things and really be on ourselves.
Azeez Al-Shaair here on 95.7 The Game. So, Dee Ford and Dre Greenlaw both back this weekend. This is a defense that has been really turning a corner. You've been fantastic over the last few weeks. How much better do you guys get with these two players returning to the field?
Man, I mean, a whole lot better. Obviously, those are two of our key guys on defense. And, like, just the energy that Dre brings to the defense, I think, is just, like, I feed off of him. He feeds off of me. And then, obviously, D4, like, the speed that he has off the edge, like, second to none. So I think that they both would help our defense a whole lot.
Given the fact that he's coming back, how much does this change what you do and how often you get to do it?
I mean, honestly, I couldn't even tell you. For me, I just go out there, play whatever they tell me to do. If they tell me to go in, I'm in. If they tell me I'm out, I'm out. Like I said, at the end of the day, being a professional, you just show up and you work. So that's what I do. Like, that's what I've done since I was a rookie, and that's what I'm going to continue to do. So I think that I just let all that stuff take care of itself and just make sure I'm ready and doing my part.
Well, you know, your story's amazing. It really is. And I'm sure that when you do interviews, people keep pivoting back to your humble beginnings. But we really did say that you're the American dream. You truly are. What you have done in your life, the childhood that you had, your upbringing, born in Tampa, Florida, moving back and forth between Tampa and Saudi Arabia, where your father worked as an English instructor. So you had, you know, your feet in two countries, which is incredibly American to begin with. And then you experienced homelessness after your home burnt down. You were food insecure for a while. I read how you would go on recruiting trips long after you had committed to Florida Atlantic because a meal that you didn't eat at home was a meal that you were definitely going to get and a meal that you weren't burdening your family with. I mean, this is some amazing stuff that you've gone through. And I've heard you do these interviews. I'm sorry if you're retelling the story again or you don't want this to be part of your story every single time. But with it being Thanksgiving tomorrow, could you share a little bit of that with us? Because it really is a remarkable origin story that you have.
No, yeah, for sure. I'm definitely grateful to realize how far I've come. I think about it all the time. But I grew up in Tampa, Florida. I got 7 brothers and sisters. I'm the 5th of 8. And my mother and my father were together until I was about 10 years old. And like I said, I grew up in poverty, homeless for a good portion of my life. I just remember, like, when I first started playing football, it was around the same time that my house had burned down. We were staying in my grandmother's house. It was during a time called Ramadan, which is a Muslim holiday where we celebrate where we don't, for 30 days, we won't eat or drink during the time that the sun is up. Mm-hmm. So while the sun is down, it was early in the morning. My sister had cooked something on the stove and accidentally left it on the stove. There was nobody else in the house at the time, just me and my two little brothers and my little niece. And so in the middle of the night, or early in the morning, like 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, I just kept hearing the fire alarm going off. And I have 3 older sisters, and we always mess with each other. And I'm just like, y'all can't cook anyway. So you heard that alarm going off more often than not. So for a good amount of time, I just kind of like was trying to ignore it. But then I just kept hearing it go off and eventually like opened my eyes and just popped my head up. And all I saw was smoke everywhere. And I went out into the kitchen. It was right by the living room, and just seen the whole kitchen in flames. And literally, like, split-second decisions, just grabbed my little brothers, ran them out the house, grabbed my niece, ran her out the house, and just watched my house burn down. I remember I lived in a motel, and I would take a city bus with my little brothers, take a city bus 2 hours, almost 3 hours, to get to high school. I would drop them off at the bus, get back on the bus, and go to school. I would be going to school, like, I would miss my first and second period, like, all the time. But literally, I just remember when I finally started to play football. It's so funny, like, my favorite team at the time was the Ravens because my mother was from Baltimore. And, like, I remember that year that the Ravens and the 49ers went to the Super Bowl. And I was living in the motel. And I remember after the Ravens had won the Super Bowl, Ray Lewis, just listening to him talk, he was like, you know, if you just trust in God and just you keep working, anything's possible, whatever. I think that was, like, a real big moment for me to just kind of be like, you know what? I'm really going to try my hardest with football and just, you know, trust in God and just see where it goes. And then literally just God really just was with me the whole way. I was able to start playing football at Hillsborough High School, got some scholarships and went to Florida Atlantic, played there for 3.5 years, and ended up going to the NFL. I actually tore my ACL coming out my senior year and decided to come back for my senior year instead of leaving as a junior. And I ended up tearing my ACL. So that was another just trial and tribulation in itself. And then, you know, coming here undrafted and being the only undrafted guy to make the team that year. And I just worked. Really, it just never really gave up.
The stunning amount of hurdles that you have leapt over in your career, truly, in your life. It's amazing. And isn't it crazy that the very first thing we do when we hear a fire alarm is ignore it? Like our natural response to it is the opposite of what it's supposed to be, but that's just, it's human nature. It really is. I'm so glad that y'all got out again. You're basically a 4-year starter at Florida Atlantic there. At what point did you realize, did a coach come up to you and say, look, kid, you got it. Like, you can absolutely pursue a professional career and think that you might actually get your arms around it one day. Was there a specific conversation, a game that you had where you went from, I'm a football player, to maybe I can play football for a living?
Oh, well, for me personally, like, I had decided just when I was in high school that that's what I was going to do. I just really worked and did everything that I possibly could. So when I got into college, I remember my freshman year, at FAU, like I was 170 pounds when I first got in. And, I ended
What do you weigh now?
228, so big difference.
Yeah.
But I ended up getting up to like 200 pounds or like 198 my freshman year. And I actually ended up being a freshman All-American. I just remember like my coaches at the time, it was Charlie Partridge, and then my defensive coordinator, my linebacker coach, Rock Bellantoni, they were telling me, like, listen, man, like, you can really make this. Like, it's a real living that you can make out of this if you just keep doing what you're doing, keep working. And so literally I remember go through that next year. We had a really bad year. I played pretty good, but, I mean, as overall, we had a bad year. Coaches got fired. Then Lane Kiffin came in. And I remember my junior year, that was my beginning of my junior year, in the summer of my junior year, they're coming in and telling me, like, listen, you could play anywhere in the country right now. Like, you could be at any school in the country. So literally, like, you have a chance to really make it in the NFL. And so then I remember after my junior year, it was my best year in college by far. And they were letting me know, like, listen, like, if you leave, you can really go into the NFL now. But if you come back, you can really, you know, get drafted a lot higher, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to get my degree as well. And then, you know, just things didn't work out, obviously. Ended up tearing my ACL. But at the end of the day, you know, it was just another chapter to my story that helped me really work a little bit harder just to even get here. So I don't think that it would really go any other way for me.
Being that your father had an academic background, do you plan on going back for your degree one day?
I got my degree.
You got your degree. Yeah,
I did get my degree. And just as far as, like, obviously hurting myself, that was not the plan. But
right.
To get my degree.
Oh, that's fantastic. Dude, that's awesome. Look, it really is the best week possible to have you on. Not only has your side of the football helped this entire season kind of turn around in the last 2 weeks, your story ahead of Thanksgiving is just an ultimate feel-good story, man. You have overcome so much. You are an inspirational guy. And I want to wrap up by letting you know that we, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, want to feed you. And that's exactly what we're going to do. This segment is brought to you by Harris Ranch Beef, and our friends there are going to send you a dozen USDA Prime New York Strip steaks, 10.5 pounds of meat, for joining us here today. Have you ever gotten steaks after an interview before?
I never have, but I appreciate y'all, man.
There you go. Steaks, and come back sometime so we can talk more. This was fantastic. You're an easy guy to root for. Good luck to you the rest of the way.
I appreciate you guys, man. Thank you for having me.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.